The one that I'm looking for, the scripture that I'm looking for, is not where any of my markers is at this evening. Somebody must have been in my Bible. Well, so it seems tonight. But let's let me give you some scripture, and God will bring that verse to my mind. I'm confident that He has what's best for us if we will just follow Him this evening and not follow ourselves. But the Bible talks about, and I'll just give you the scripture without telling you where it's at. You can look it up. Paul was talking, and Paul said that he had no confidence in his flesh. He was talking about the things of God, dealing with the things of people and all that was going on in his life. Where's that at? Romans 7:18. Let me turn over there. Anyway, that's close to where what Paul was saying. But he's talking about confidence tonight, and I've never been to where I couldn't find my marker, so this is strange ground for me. And the Philippians takes me back to the old church when they used to have readers. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The reader was given because many of the preachers did not know how to read. And they would have readers that would stand and read the Word of God, and then the preacher would preach. 3:23, he said. Okay, Philippians 3. Thank you. And my marker was right there. And let's go down, if we would, to verse 3. He says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And he went on to list the reasons why he could say, "I have confidence in his flesh." We know Paul was raised right, according to the law, I should put in there. He said he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. And you know the next verse. "But I count, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." I'd like to preach to you a message tonight that God's laid on our heart for some time about confidence. Confidence is something that comes and goes. How many of you, one day you're confident, and maybe that same day, an hour or so later, your confidence is just destroyed? Doesn't take much to come and destroy our confidence that we have in ourselves and in this world that we live in. I have full confidence, as Paul said many times in the book of Ephesians and Romans, and even here in Philippians, I have full confidence in you. But sometimes our confidence is weak in ourselves. A I've heard it said over the years that a singer is only as good as their last song, and a preacher is only as good as their last message. Sometimes our confidence is high, and sometimes it's low. I try my best when I get behind this pulpit to be as confident as I can, knowing that if I leave it all to God, the work will get done if I put myself aside. But if I get up here and myself and Roger, I'm going to fail every time. Because when it comes to worship God, He's not looking at our talents or our abilities. He's looking for a vessel that is willing to be used by Him. And in the church house, we ought to have the confidence that if we do the will of God, we will be blessed. But if we try to go on our own talents, there's a lot of people that have great talents. I often, as I told you many times, listen to a lot of singing and a lot of preaching, and there's people that their talents just amaze me. They can hit the high notes or they can hit the low notes, and their voice never break or quiver. They never lose pitch. They're perfect. And they have confidence because they've done it over and over and over. But they also recognize it's a God-given talent that they have. It's easy to sing when everything is perfect. Your confidence is high. It's easy to preach when everything is perfect. I've often said when the Spirit of God is real high, even a deacon could preach. And Ron was dressed so wonderfully this morning, I thought he was going to preach for us. All dressed up. And he told me that was the first time in months that he had worn a jacket and tie. And I say, thanks be to the Lord this evening. Our confidence is something that, in the Bible, it means boldness. That when you have that kind of confidence, many of us have confidence in a lot of things in our life. But those same confidences can be depleted so quickly by one failure, by one mistake, or by series of events. Go back and read Job. Job's friends told him, all the things that you preached and you taught, your confidence now is being put to test. Did you, in other words, did you really believe all the things that you said? And Job said, yes. Yes, I believe it. Because I know that the God that is allowing this to happen, He is greater than my circumstance. He is greater than what I'm going through. And my confidence is in Him, not in myself. Because as Paul said, there's times that I'm high, there's times that I'm low. There's times that I do things that God has told me to do, and there's times that God moves and I don't do what God has told us to do. I do that which I would not, or those things I would not, I do, is what He said. We need to have boldness. But yet, our confidence is so easily seared to where sometimes, anybody else like me, sometimes your confidence is so low that you can barely hold your head up because you've been defeated, humiliated by Satan and his angels. But then I think about the scripture that says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And my confidence starts rebuilding. There's times that I can recite scripture, and then there's times when I barely can remember my name. And you say, Roger, are you losing your mind? Part of it could be that. But I believe the biggest part of it is when God is with you, He could make even a babe to recite His word and get a donkey to bring a message. Hallelujah. You say, did God really do that? God was had the original talking head. Amen. Didn't know I knew that. But He did. You see, many of our forefathers went through the same things that we went through. Again, I mentioned Job. Elijah is another good example. He went down to the widow of Zarephath's house and said, make me a meal. And you know the story. She said, I've got enough for me and my son. We're going to make that meal and we're going to eat and we're going to die. And he said, make me a meal. And because she made that meal, God blessed her to where the oil never ran out and the flour never ran out. I believe it didn't run out for the rest of her days. You can believe whatever you want, but I believe it like that. Get your pots, go to your neighbor's house and get their pots, get as many as you can. The only reason why she didn't get more is because she ran out of pots to put it in. Amen. Or when he went and he prayed fire down from heaven with the prophets of Baal standing there witnessing what God had done. Or when he told them there would be no rain for a space of 3.5 years. And then here he comes and says, it sounds like rain. But prophet, there is no clouds in the sky. He said, go look again. Praise be to the Lord. And the third time they came back and they said, there's a cloud up there about like a man's hand. He said, it's going to rain. This same man of God that had all of his confidence was broken by a woman by the name of Jezebel. How could a man so powerful, his confidence be destroyed by a woman that was going to try to kill him? The Bible even says that when Jezebel spoke to him or he got the message from Jezebel, he went down and he laid underneath a juniper tree. How many of you lay down underneath a juniper tree because your confidence was destroyed? There's been times, and I'll just testify for a moment, there's been times that I've had to really trust in God to get out from underneath that juniper tree because my confidence was so destroyed. I said this a few weeks ago in a message. There's times when I leave here and I'm driving back to the house and Satan will come and tell me what a failure of a message that I brought. And he don't stop there. He'll tell me what a failure I am of a preacher, of a pastor. He'll tell me what a failure I am of a Christian. But then I have to remind him, I might be a failure in your eyes, but in the eyes of God, I am 100% successful because I've got Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. We could be like Caleb. Now, Caleb did not lose his confidence. When they went down to Jericho, the Bible says all the spies that he sent, the 12 spies down there, 10 of them came back. And I said Caleb, we could say Caleb and Joshua. 10 of them came back and said, you know what? These people, they're strong and they've got walled cities and they're very great. And we've seen some of the kids of Anak down there. Now that may not sound too familiar to some of you. Anak was the giants in the land. And they saw these giants. But see, instead of looking on the outside, Caleb went back and said, yeah, they're big. But our God is bigger. He just delivered us from Jericho, did he not? And all those others said, no, we can't do it. Or we could be as Joshua. God had blessed him to bring the children of Israel over the River Jordan. And they got down there to Jericho, and they you know the story, as I said, they fought. But they came up against a city next called Ai. And they went down there and they scouted it out, and the news came back to them that we don't need the whole army. Only send about 2,000 to 3,000. We can take them. See, they were confident, right? Look what we did to Jericho. If we could do that to Jericho, Ai is nothing. But what they forgot or didn't know is that there was sin in the camp. Because Achan took that Babylonian garment, that wedge of silver and that gold, and because he took that, their confidence is about to be destroyed. I've often questioned about Achan taking that Babylonian garment when God said, take nothing of theirs. The gold and the silver shall be for the Lord and nobody else. It belongs to God. And Achan took all those things. I questioned him or myself in the word about that. Where in the world was he going to wear that Babylonian garment? Because as soon as he put it on, everybody would know where it came from. And they were pretty much in a cashless society because God provided everything for them. So where was he going to spend that silver and gold? Because of his greediness, it cost him his life and his family's life and all of his animals. It destroyed the confidence of the men of God, the warriors that were out there. But yet, before we condemn them too much, let us also remember the times that we've prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And God sent the answer. And we shouted in victory. But then we'd pray again and no answer come. I believe that's where Daniel was at, don't you? I've prayed. I've seen God do great things. He brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. He shut the lion's mouth when I was thrown into the den of lions. He provided for me all these years, and yet here we are. My confidence is high. Their confidence was high. But it only takes one event to destroy your confidence. We've had preachers whose confidence has been destroyed. We've had deacons whose confidence has been destroyed. And even lay members whose confidence has been destroyed. But Daniel would say, for 21 days, Lord, we prayed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you brought them out of that fire just like that. When I was thrown into the den of lions, you came, you sent an angel. My Lord have sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. And here I stand in warfare. And for 21 days I prayed and no answer has come. Anybody prayed and no answer came? You remember those, don't you? And if we're not careful, it will drive our confidence down to an all-time low. But I've come to preach to you tonight. God is still on the throne. He's still hearing the prayers of his children. And he's still answering our prayers. Pray on, sing on, preach on. And as we sometimes, Sister Ruby, when our confidence is low, we have to start right back at the very basics. to try to build our confidence back up. It's not just in the house of God, but even in the things we do in life, Brother Wayne. Sometimes we are able to do great things, and then other times the littlest of things will destroy our confidence. I've said for many years now, I am persuaded with the help of God, there is nothing that I can't do. Well, that sounds bold, don't it? As soon as I walk out of church, the devil's going to smack me upside the head. And something small, he's going to say, let me see you fix that. I'm talking about physical things, talking about life things, and talking about spiritual things all at the same time. But you see, Paul said to us, I have no confidence in my flesh. But in my flesh, if I was to brag about the confidence I have something to be confident about. And tonight I want us to walk away from here saying, there's times my confidence is low in the flesh, but in the spirit, I am confident. Not because I am I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. None of us today can stand up and say, I have confidence because of these attributes of my life. But what I can't stand up and say I am confident about is because I am a born-again child of God. He is my Father, I am His Son. And whatsoever I have need of, the Scripture says, if you want to go over to the book of Ephesians and read there as well, later chapters and verses, it teaches us that Paul said, I am confident that whatsoever thing I ask of Him, He is able to deliver. I mean, you got that kind of confidence in God. Lord, you know what I need even before I ask. And I'm asking confidently. You see, I might lose confidence in myself, but I have never lost confidence in my Lord and my Savior and what He is able to do. I've seen Him give life to those that the doctor said death is imminent. I've seen Him touch those that were diagnosed with graven illnesses and them live on and have a prosperous life. I've seen Him touch the hard-hearted and they walk down the aisle and give their life unto the Lord as their Savior. And I could go on and on and on. How many of you have seen God move in so many different ways that you can't even begin to mention them all? But you know this, that even though we may not have confidence in ourselves, we have confidence in what God can do. What He can do for your family, what He can do for my family, what He can do for each and every one of us. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 21st verse, John was writing and he said, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence in God. Very, very simple message in that verse. When does our heart condemn us? When we have strayed. When we're wrong in the Lord. When we're low in spirit. But when we have no condemnation in our heart, a pure heart, it's almost like Rachel and the kids up here singing, Jesus loves me. A pure heart. They could ask God for anything and be confident that God would provide. And you say, do you mean anything? Anything that we have need of, we can ask God for. Or as he says in the 5th chapter of 1 John in the 15th verse, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, He shall deliver. How many of you got confidence in God? How many of you got confidence in the grand old church? Some would say she's going down. I'd say you got your directions wrong. She's going up. The numbers may be going down, but the church will never go down. But it's going to take a flight. In 1 John, the second chapter, in the 28th verse, this is for all of us. Abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have the confidence and not be ashamed. And I have to say, John, hold on just a minute. I have confidence in God. I have confidence in my salvation. But there's one thing about it, Brother Ott. When I stand there before him on that day, if it were possible, I would have to say, Lord, I don't deserve to be here. I'm ashamed of all my failures and my shortcomings while on earth. I know that I don't deserve to be here, but I plead the blood of Jesus Christ that saved a wretch like me. Some people stand and preach and teach, and you would think that they're right there next to God himself. You're looking at one, I know I'm not. I know, as they said and some previous chapters and verses that we read today, that they asked the Lord in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, in fact. Let me turn there so I don't recite it wrong. They asked the Lord, Lord, at this time will thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. There are some things just not meant for us to know. And we ought to never think that we are equal to God himself. He is our Father, and we are his children. And although our confidence may go back and forth, his confidence has never, ever changed one bit. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. As I said, Sister Barb, there's a lot of things I'm not confident in. I'm not confident that I'll wake up in the morning. I'm not confident that I'll make it to the house tonight. I'm not confident in a lot of things in this world. But one thing I am confident is that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a reward waiting for me when I get there on that great appointed day. And I am confident that if I leave before you, I shall meet you around the throne of God, where we'll sing and shout and never ever wear out. I am confident in that. But everything else, my confidence is high, and then my confidence is low. I kid you not, there are times when John 3:16 is hard for me to remember. And for some of you that say, those scriptures are so easy to remember, you ought to be able to recite every one of them. I say, and not being smart aleck tonight, let God put you behind this pulpit and see how much your confidence is built up or tore down. Because if prayers not being answered destroys our confidence, not being able to get hold of God. And you say, does times like that happen? And the scripture says it does. I looked on this right hand and he was not there. I looked on the left hand and he was not there. Where is God? Our confidence is destroyed. And it's just like, I'll just simplify it. It's almost like when these little babies learn how to walk. Once they first take off, you stand back and you watch them wobble. You watch them lose their balance and gain it and take another step. Sometimes I believe that's God watching over us. Because as we walk more, as they walk more, their confidence grows. Then you know, the next thing you know, they're no longer walking, but they're running. Sometimes that's the way our confidence is. Sometimes I'm running. Sometimes I'm walking. Sometimes I'm crawling. So tonight in closing, don't ever think that you're the only person that your confidence wanes to and fro. You're not. How many of you tonight as a witness will raise your hand and say, my confidence is just like what Roger preached about. It's high and it's low. Sometimes I can move great mountains and the next day trip over an anthill. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for the analogies he gives me. Sometimes we're able to perform great things for God. And then the next day, a woman threatening our life, we go and hide. Yeah. We go and hide. And I don't want to minimize that woman. That woman had great power. Jezebel had great power. And as she sought to kill him, she was going to destroy the man of God. But instead of him trusting God, he let the human fear overtake his thought processes. And sometimes you and I have been there. We should never cast stones at anybody else because we've been right where they're at. Maybe not because of somebody threatening our life, but how many of us tonight has the devil put on the run time and time again when we know God will give us the strength to stand if we will stand? The scripture says, having done all, stand. Stand. And when we stand, let me go back. I said I was going to close, didn't I? But if we go back to the children of Israel for just a moment, when God was leading them out of bondage, no doubt as they was taking their steps, they was celebrating every step of the way. Been under bondage for 400 years, and now we're free. Then they get out there to the Red Sea. And they said, Moses, why have you brought us out here to die? We've been better off to stay back under bondage and be alive than we had to come out here and die. And look at this man. Oh, I didn't mention him, did I? Look at this man who is a good example of having high confidence and then your confidence being destroyed. When he was in Pharaoh's house the first 40 years of his life, he was a confident warrior, soldier, being trained in all the ways of Pharaoh and the life that was there. But one event when he thought he could get ahead of God and take that Egyptian's life who smote his brother. I have to interject here. How did he know that Egyptian was, or that man that the Egyptian smote was his brother? You know how he knew? Because God arranged it, had his very mother who gave birth to him, was there with him in Pharaoh's house, brought him up and taught him about who he really was. But because he did that, his life, he was put on the run. His confidence was destroyed to where he went from Pharaoh's house to being a shepherd, the lowest of all jobs. To be a shepherd. But God was not done with him. and even a shepherd, after spending 40 years out there tending sheep, one day God said, I'm going to restore his confidence. Wait till you see what I've got in mind for him. And he saw that bush up there that was on fire, but it never was consumed. And he said, I must go see. And he went up there, and he heard a voice from God that said, Moses, put off your shoes, for the where you stand is holy ground. And you know what happened? His confidence went back up. God is speaking to me. The God of my mother is speaking to me. And then when God told him what he wanted to do, oh, Lord, I can't do that. Confidence shot all over again. I'm not a man of eloquent speech. He's a lion. He was taught how to speak in Pharaoh's house. But you know, that's what, once your confidence is destroyed, that's what happens. Anybody else had your confidence seared to the point to where you could barely hold your head up? Life events will cause your confidence to go down. Divorce, separation, mistreatment, abuse, talked about, lied about, taken advantage of, and the list goes on and on and on, will destroy your confidence. But I've got a confidence building program for you. Take out the Word of God. You say, Roger, are you going to market this plan? Let me tell you, this plan has been there ever since the beginning. Take out the Word of God. Begin to read who you are in Jesus Christ. Hold your head up. I don't care what's happened in the past. From this day forward, hold your head up and say, I am a born-again child of God. I'm redeemed by his precious blood. In this world, I may be a nobody. But in the heavens, the angels know my name. Amen. You say, Roger, how does the angels know your name? The night that I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, there was a celebration that took place in heaven. Scripture, does it not say that there's more celebration in heaven over one true sinner that truly repented than 99 just persons that needeth no repentance? In the presence of the angels, there was celebration as God and his Son and the Holy Spirit was celebrating that I gave my heart and my life unto him. So today, in my closing, I don't want you to be overconfident. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. But if you don't have Jesus Christ backing you, you're going to fall flat on your face. Amen? I've walked in. We was talking about school earlier with Maddie and Rachel. I've walked into classrooms before overly confident. I'll whiz this test. This is nothing. And the professor was a jokester who gave us a test that all four answers was right, but he wanted the one that was the best. And I didn't fail it, but I didn't get an A. I think I got a C on that sociology test. And if you know anything about me, anything less than an A is not good. See, that's the confidence I have. I asked the grandkids when I picked them up on Friday. Zoe let the cat out of the bag, got my report card. And I said, well, what did you get? A's and B's and one C. I said, you're better than that. I asked Reese, what'd you get? A's and B's. At first, she got philosophical on me. She said, I got average. I said, what does average mean? She said, I got A's and B's. I said, well, that's good, but you both can do better. You're too smart. Just a little bit more effort, and you could have straight A's. And I never did get a clear answer from Sean. He said, I don't get report cards. Again, getting philosophical on me. We get progress reports. You see, I'm not trying to destroy their confidence. I'm trying to build up their confidence. If you never push yourself to do better, you'll only do worse or mediocre. And I share that with you because when it comes to God, we should never settle for mediocre. We should push to be the best we can for our Lord and Savior, having full confidence. He's going to hear my prayers, and they will be answered according to His will. And He's going to walk with me each and every day. And He's going to bless me on this journey. How many of you know God said He's going to bless you, and you're coming in and you're going out? He's going to make you the head and not the tail. He's going to make you the lender and not the borrower. Oh, I'm waiting for that. God will build up our confidence. And I'll ask you one question while we get a song of invitation. How many of you are like me? Some days your confidence is high, and some days your confidence is low. Not just in yourself, but in your prayers and what God's going to do in healing that you need. Some days, you know, I believe it was tonight. In fact, it was tonight. Glenn told me that, you know, with Eli, you look at him and he's got that leukemia. But when he's around his kids and grandkids, when he's here and everybody's around him, you never know anything's wrong with him. Because, for one, he's not a person to complain. But he's just being strong. Did you know you can feed off others? If you hang with people that are low in confidence, you're going to be low in confidence. You are known by the company you keep. That's why sometimes it's better to be alone than it is to be with somebody that's going to drag you down. Amen. I don't need somebody to drag me down. I need somebody to lift me up. And you say, it's all about you. No. We lift each other up in the Lord. Tonight your confidence may have been broken. Your confidence may need to be stronger. I am confident in this, that no matter what Satan brings at us, God is able to fix it, to restore it, or to make it even better than what it was before. Amen. Read the Bible. While we stand and sing a verse of a song, if anybody has a need to pray, now is that time. Have your confidence restored. Amen. Some of you have been at that point, you was ready to give up. But God passed by. And He, you know, his voice spoke to your heart and your life while they sing. You follow your heart tonight. Anybody at all? You like to have more confidence. Now's that time to come. Be confident in the Lord. Be confident. Why not tonight? Yes. Then why not tonight? In life, how many of you will acknowledge it? You know, and I'll be the first to raise my hand. There are days that you lack so much confidence. You just lack it. There's been times that I have been in those situations, whether it be in the classroom or at the workplace or even in the house of the Lord. And I just have to say, Lord, help me. Help me. And he knows what I have need of. You see, we try to put on the front that we're all confident, that we have all confidence in ourselves and our abilities and everything in life, when in reality, none of us could do anything if it wasn't for God helping us. And I go back to a personal or to a life example. I honor my forefathers that were so much smarter than what we are, even with our exaggerated educations and everything else that goes along with it. Because has anybody ever tried to work on anything without opening up YouTube? And I give you that example because our forefathers were smarter. They didn't have YouTube, and they got it done. You know, we watch YouTube and say, oh, I can do that. You know what YouTube is it's a confidence builder. In most cases, in some cases, it's like, no, I can't do that. Oh. But our forefathers, they got their confidence through the school of hard knocks by learning and doing because they had to. I've had some, in fact, it was Steve Puckett years ago. He was making a statement, and he said, how is it that all you preachers, he was talking about a couple of us preachers, you know how to do roofing, you know how to work, build things, you know how to work on cars, you know how to do all this stuff. How is it you preachers know how to do that? And I said, it's easy, because we grew up in a time when we had to. And when you have to, you learn how to. We've made our share of mistakes. Anybody else want to confess? But you know what? By the grace of God, we're still around today. Amen. Amen. You don't know how to pray until you've almost fallen off a roof. Amen. Or you're down to your last dollar and the car's broke down. You learn how to pray real quick. When the pantry is low, you learn how to pray. And that builds your confidence tonight, seeing what God can do when you can't. I hope you've enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this day. I hope your confidence is stronger tomorrow. But yet, don't let your head get too big. Because not only can God increase your confidence, God can also bring you to your knees and show you how little you can do without him. Have a great week. Enjoy this new dark, from daylight to dark. And Terry can attest, you know, unless we go up to the materials building, we walk past windows, I never see, hardly ever see, the light of day unless I'm running to one of the other hospitals. Because once we're in that building, they don't put us where the windows are at. We're the low rent district down in the bowels of the hospital. But I know the sun is shining. I just can't see it. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Come out Wednesday night. Oh, we got business.